Welcome in, everybody. It is time for Three Guys Before the Game, episode number 85. And oh, look who's back. After a one or two show hiatus, he has returned. Hoppy Kercheval is with us along with the Senator, Brad Howe. Coming up on today's program, Mountaineer football, the Cuban Missile Crisis showdown with Oklahoma, and Mountaineer basketball. How low can things go? Our program today is being brought to us by BetLucky. BetLucky.com, now available to you if you would like to get in on the sports wagering side here in West Virginia. More on that later in our program.
Tony, the reason I'm back is I was actually on another program, but I was granted a release so I could come be part of this program.
I know they
Nobody
tried
blocked
to get
you. Nobody blocked you?
They tried. They tried.
They said you could come sit on the set, but you couldn't talk.
Right.
So you could come to the show, but you weren't immediately eligible to talk.
Exactly.
I see.
Yeah, you'd have to sit on it for 1 year. You would have to sit on the side. So, did I go too far on my Cuban Missile Crisis stare down?
It was a showdown.
It was, wasn't it?
You know, Tony, I did a little math here. 49 years ago this month, Kurt Flood of the St. Louis Cardinals filed a federal lawsuit. Because he'd been traded from the Cardinals to the Phillies, he says, wait a minute. And he challenged the reserve clause, which said that, you know, players didn't have the independence that they desire, that all the owners controlled where they went and where they played. He lost his suit. But 5 years later, the reserve clause was nullified by a federal arbitrator. And guess what? Players, professional players, got more control over their own destiny. Here we are, 49 years later, and maybe, Brad, we should start applying that same principle to college players who are in many ways professional athletes, except they don't get paid.
Well, you're exactly right. And in this particular issue, and it is moving in that direction.
Yeah.
I mean, you're seeing the NCAA and leagues adopt some rules to ease this transition, but it sounds as if, and we were made aware of this in this particular case, there's still some loopholes there that schools control where players go. Just on this specific niche part of the discussion, because we could do four podcasts and fill it up on whether this is right, wrong, or indifferent, or why it's the way it is. On this particular niche, though, where the kid has graduated, the grad transfer that we've heard so much about, I just simply am dumbfounded that there's any kind of discussion for any side of this story other than a kid graduates from your institution and still has eligibility left. The kid should be free to go wherever he wants. Whether this is a West Virginia issue or not, that to me, there's no two sides here, guys. There's no two sides. You graduate, you fulfill your academic requirements, and you are released and free to go wherever you want. Done, over, case closed. And as we see, that side is undefeated. That happens every time. Every time this comes up, the school that's trying to block or limit ends up caving to public pressure. Every time. Happened again in this case.
I almost wish that they had not caved. I wish that they had tried to hold out and defend the position, because then it would have become a bigger story. And the hypocrisy of it would have been highlighted even more. You know, big-time college athletics is the definition of situational ethics. Mm-hmm. And I think they've gotten so big and so powerful, they want it always. And in reality, you know, life is about compromise and you know, how do you get along? But I mean, the powers that be have dominated for so long, they think they can control the lives of individuals. Brad, you said it. He graduated. He fulfilled his obligation to the university. The university has no control over him and shouldn't have any control. We're talking about Austin Kendall. Should have no control over him.
And then this one in particular became even more of an issue, because on the very same day this came to light, Oklahoma accepted its own graduate transfer quarterback on the very same day. So even if you wanted to hold to this, I don't know how the school didn't sit around and go, you know what, here, guys, we're going to have a PR problem with this. Even if we think we're going to have a real PR problem here, what's the upside for us doing this? We've brought another kid in at this position. We've got a starter for next year. Why would we go down this path? It was a maddening display of lack of self-awareness by that institution, and they're not alone. We see it every year. Somebody does this every year.
We do, and I think on a real, real big picture, we're continually seeing the fragmenting of the old school of thought. It just keeps, like a hammer, it just keeps hitting it and hitting, and you get more of these happening and more of these happening and more of these happening. And what's going to happen here in the not-too-distant future is that that federal judge is going to make a ruling in the NCAA case with Sean Alston in front of him, the former WV running back, and you're going to see a massive change when that judge says, no, you can no longer limit the amount of a scholarship, and that will send us into a whole nother realm. So, yeah, we're in a very, very seminal moment for collegiate athletics, and the business model that currently exists is changing. Colleges, conferences are getting ready for that change, but this is only the beginning. But this was like the last, one of the last stands that you'll see as this continues to fragment. Our buddy Barry Trammell, who writes for the Oklahoman, follows the Sooners, follows the Cowboys there at Oklahoma State, and he's kind of the sage of the Big 12 Conference. This is what he wrote about Oklahoma trying to stop the transfer of quarterback Austin Kendall to WVU, talking about Lincoln Riley. Give Riley credit for reversing course. And some say they understand why he made the original decision. The Sooners play West Virginia every season. They don't want to empower the Mountaineers to possibly be a threat to OU when WVU plays on Owen Field next October. Then he closes with this. Maybe so. I also understand why people try to beat trains through a crossing. They're in a hurry. That doesn't make it smart. That kind of puts it right there. It was not, as you've been saying all along, it wasn't a very self-aware decision by Oklahoma. But let's jump into a whole nother can of worms. Why would they do that? Why would the athletic director go along with Lincoln Riley? Why didn't the athletic director just say, hey, no, you can't do that. We're getting Jalen Hurts. Just settle. He's going to go. From an athletic director's standpoint, why can't you make that move?
Because you're in a self-preservation, terrible spot as the athletic director. You're the boss, but you're really not the boss, especially at a place where the coach has so much power, as Lincoln Riley does and should, has won a lot of games, has him in the playoffs two straight year, has two straight Heisman Trophy winners. So let's say for a second, and Joe Castiglione is a smart guy. He's been around this business a long time. There's a one-hand list of athletic directors that are more respected nationally than Joe Castiglione. He's one of the very best there is. I find it stunning that he wouldn't know they were on the wrong side of this and they weren't looking out for Austin Kendall's well-being. But you're in a tough spot if you're the AD. You have two choices. Either you go and get into a fight with your powerful football coach and say, no, here's what we're doing. And then you better start looking over your shoulder because the story is going to be, well, you're not working with the football coach. The AD's not working with the football. And now for self-preservation, that AD's job is in peril. Because the donors are going to side with the football coach. It puts the guy in a really tough spot. Do the right thing or go ahead and take a little external pressure, but I can be comfortable with my guy that I hire that's on my team that I say, I was with you, buddy. I went to bat for you.
Well, one of the arguments is that you alluded to, Tony, is, well, if the quarterback goes to West Virginia and they play West Virginia next year and that's an advantage for West Virginia and he knows all Oklahoma's plays, do you think that when a recruit, let's say a recruit goes to Oklahoma and sees their facilities and sees everything they got and then goes to Kansas, do you think Oklahoma has an advantage, has an unfair advantage in that?
No.
You know, that's a very selective argument that gets made in those cases. You know, you quoted a reporter. Let me quote Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports, who covered
this. Aren't you boys with him?
I know him.
Brad, wouldn't you say he's boys?
Here's what Dennis Dodd wrote. CBS
boys.
Sports.
Close.
In blocking
close
the
boys.
Immediate eligibility for graduate transfer lineman Brandon Kennedy last year, Alabama coach Nick Saban said, quote, when we make a rule that guys can transfer whenever they want to transfer, which, by the way, isn't true, whenever they want to transfer, how are we supposed to get people to do what they should do? Do what they should do. Yikes, says Dennis Dodd. Kennedy had graduated in December 2017. He had 2 years of eligibility remaining. He had more than fulfilled his obligation to university. That's a key phrase there. Do what they should do. That's about control. It's about coaches who are obsessed about control. And you know what? You can't control every element, nor should you be able to control the lives of adults to that degree.
Hold on. Before we go further, this absurd argument that you're worried that someone's going to leave your program and go give state secrets to another program. Okay, sometimes it happens. We saw that with Scott McBrien. Scott McBrien left, came back, whipped West Virginia's behind, right? Okay, that happens. But here's the tone deafness part of this particular small story. Just yesterday, as this was all breaking and going bananas, and if Oklahoma's defense is we don't want him to go to a school that's on our schedule for the next couple years, trade secrets, he may help that team beat our team. Did you see the assistant coach that Oklahoma announced yesterday? the hire of the Oklahoma, the same school we're talking about. Did you see who they hired as an assistant coach? It would be a gentleman from UCLA. So Oklahoma hired a guy that had just been at UCLA. Tony, would you like to ask me if UCLA is on Oklahoma's schedule coming up?
I think they may be.
They, in fact, are.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That even that flimsy, absurd argument falls by the wayside in this particular case. It's just, we're just back to schools, listen up here. When you got a guy, especially a grad transfer, and he wants to transfer and leave your program, especially when you've bigfooted him and brought somebody in, just let him go. Just say best of luck. Thanks for all you've done for our program. Thanks for your time here. Best of luck
this
in the future.
This comes from these big-time
so
programs being completely insulated and detached from reality, surrounded by sycophants, and not being, as Brad said, having any degree of self-awareness.
Just to underscore his point, and then we'll get off this. His point is really strong, and people might not follow it through, but this is what happens to these athletic directors in these kinds of situations. Castiglione has to go to bat for Lincoln Riley. Lincoln Riley says, I don't want to release the guy. Because if he doesn't, then next season, Jalen Hurts is out there running around at quarterback. He gets biffed, and he gets injured. And Oklahoma doesn't have an experienced quarterback back there. And let's just say hypothetically now, the season goes down for them and lose a couple games they're not supposed to lose. Because why? Because Austin Kendall's in Morgantown. And Lincoln Riley throws up his hands and says, I tried to keep him here. We would have been
this reason.
We would have been all right with Austin here, but instead Joe wouldn't have my back on this thing, and so all the big money goes like, what the heck's Joe doing? Now, he's right. Joe Castiglione's one of the most respected athletic directors, one of the best in the entire game, but that's how athletic directors get pressured into bad decisions. That's why that happens. So he probably knew deep inside of himself, it's not the right call.
There's no way he didn't know that.
Yeah, I got to protect my guy so my guy doesn't get bummed out at me and says, Joe doesn't care about football. Next time the NFL comes, I'm going to go forget this thing.
So if you're Castiglione, you're going to get hit in the side with a fastball. There's a 90-mile-an-hour fastball coming in. It's going to hit you in the ribs, and it's going to hurt. So does the hurt come from somebody that's sitting right next to you and you got to go back in the dugout with, or does it come from somebody else? And that's the decision a lot of these ADs and presidents are in, and the majority of the time they take the route of, I'll take the national bullet from a couple people writing it, and I'm going to protect my relationship with the guy I've hired. So in a real-world situation, we can argue if that's right, wrong, or indifferent all day long. That's how these things happen. When I sit here and scream, how does this happen? That's real-world how it happens.
Then I think you're exactly right. Then let's accept that that's the way it is and be adults and stop this hypocrisy about this concern about grade point average and student-athletes and young men and all this bull that gets tagged on
fair.
To what's actually going on.
Yep, that's fair.
Sports betting is now live and well in West Virginia. Bet Lucky makes sports betting very easy for you. It's the first online sports betting app in the state of West Virginia. Anyone over the age of 21 with a smartphone, get in on the action. You must be in the state of West Virginia to wager. Bet Lucky will give you 2x your first bet back in bonus money up to $20. And so when you're searching the app store, download the app, go to Bet Lucky. It's all one word. Select the affiliated casino. You'll see one there for either Wheeling Island or one for Mardi Gras. And then when you cash out, you can transfer it back to your bank account or visit the casinos in person to get your winnings. All games regulated by the West Virginia Lottery. Please play responsibly. You can do it right now. Just download the BetLucky app, whether you're an Android person or you're an iPhone person. It's there for you, BetLucky.com.
You know, it is really easy. In fact, I'm looking at it right now. And we're going to talk some basketball. You want to talk basketball? Is that where we're going?
That's where we're transitioning
to. You can right now, Hoppy, if you would like, you could go in and place a futures bet for the NCAA tournament, the champion.
Oh, really?
You want to pick a champion?
Yeah.
You can get in on West Virginia as the NCAA champion. It's at plus 15,000.
So now, how would that
work? Put $100 in, you can win 15,000 if West Virginia wins it.
I'm going to put a couple bucks on Alabama and Clemson playing for the national championship next year.
I don't think that's out yet.
All right, so here we go. Basketball. Things get no easier any way, shape, or form for West Virginia. Here comes Kansas. If you're scoring at home, they've won the last 14 Big 12 conference championships in the regular season. A Mountaineer basketball team that suffered its worst loss of the season, and Bob Huggins's, from what I read, seventh worst loss in his career. That's over 1,000 games as they got beat and beaten badly by TCU. So what is the status of this Mountaineer basketball team? Do they have anything as far as a heartbeat goes? Why is this happening? Why is this happening? So did some heavy numeration here, Hoppy.
Well, look, and maybe this isn't the best analogy, but you know, we've probably been in fist fights as kids, or we've seen fights. And the loser, if the loser, you know, the little guy, he got punched and he got beat up. He said, you know, the guy hung in there. I took a punch, and they say he really gave it all he had, and you know, he earned some respect. I thought that West Virginia in that TCU game, I thought it was humiliating. I mean, you do not expect a Bob Huggins team to get beat in that form. And they were down 20 in the first half, lost by 35. It was a humiliating loss for a Hall of Fame coach and for a program that has gone to elite levels. This is a new low that we haven't seen in a while. And I'll leave it to you guys to try to figure out, and Tony, you see him all the time, whether there is a way out. But I tell you what, I don't know if there's a way out, but they're plumbing new lows right now.
Plumbing new lows. Well, little perspective on this thing. Okay, so in the deep dive of analytics, where does this team compare to last year's team, last couple of years? Where does it compare to West Virginia's last bad season? West Virginia's last bad season was 13-19, and that was the 2013 season. To try to put things into perspective, some of the categories that 2013 had at the end of the season, West Virginia is running in that neighborhood right now. And I'll give you a couple of examples. Turnover percentage. That 2013 team was 167th in the nation in turnover percentage. This team right now, 307 out of just over 350 teams. So surprise, surprise, right? Turnover percentage has just absolutely gone off of the chart for this team. And then that inability has led to, you know, where it is right now. Just to put it into comparison, turnover percentage a year ago, West Virginia was 37th in the nation. This year, add a zero in between the three and the seven. They're 307th. So it's just gone off of the chart from where it was a season ago. And, you know, That's just the beginning of it. You take a look at all of these numbers, and these numbers trend toward that 2013 team.
I think I've given up my role.
I had your. I didn't shut that. Come on,
you did that. Yeah, I didn't touch it. I'm not even near it.
Why would I?
I've tried on this particular podcast to, as things have spiraled and the winds continue to elude West Virginia, I've tried to pull positives out, Hoppy. I've been the positive voice here.
Sure. Yeah.
I think I'm done.
Excuse me?
I think I'm done. I'm done for now. Until I'm to the point I've got to see it now, because I'm with Hoppy. That was really alarming to see how that team played the other night. And guys, here's the thing. So those were some really good analytics, deep dive into the numbers, which, you know, I love that. But step back for a minute and just go big picture. So far, there has not been a guy emerge. As good as Derek Culver has been, as much as he's producing, there hasn't been a single guy that has just said, enough. I am done with this. Give me the ball. Get out of the way. I'm going to get us buckets. There has not been a guy, same or different, on the defensive end that has said, enough of this, getting the ball and driving right at us to the basket. I'm done with that too. I am now guarding you. You're not getting points.
In fairness, what about Bolden the other night when he had 30 plus?
It came so late. In the final 12 minutes of the game, he got points. It was just too little too late. Yeah, he was trying. He was trying right there, but that hasn't been consistent enough to get them through and get over the hump. So here's an example on the defensive end backed up by numbers. Last season, 14 times in 37 games, an opposing player scored 20 or more points. So just over in a third of the games, a single opposing player, a player in the game, scored over 20 points. This year, it's happened 9 times in 17 games. More than 50%. Again, you don't need that number to know that it's not working defensively, but that's just one key stat. There has not been a stopper. There's no guy that is stopping this streak. You talk about in baseball, to use another baseball analogy, starting pitchers can oftentimes be called stoppers because a team's on a 3-game losing streak, but now you're back in the rotation to your ace, and he just says, give me the ball. Get out of the way. Give me the ball. Fine. You guys are going to score run. I'm going to allow zero. Streak over. I just got us a win. Who's the stopper on this basketball team? Who's the guy that says, I'm fed up, that's enough? It can't be Bob Huggins, because he can't control it on the floor. Someone on the floor has got to take the reins and say, done, we win, let's go.
The only guy is Culver. Culver's the only guy.
And it's hard for a big guy
that
needs somebody to get him the ball to be that guy.
Well, you know, two things about that is that you say, who's the guy going to be? Yeah, okay, it could be Culver, but now teams got a quick look at that, and they know, okay, stop Culver.
Yep.
Yeah. Keep him. That's why
they're running. Running double teams.
Yeah, he's got four. He got four shots the other night. Teams. So I mean, you cut off Culver and say, make somebody else beat you because we don't think anybody else can. And also, you played. If it's not Culver, you've played 14 guys in multiple games. You can't find a guy. You can't find guys. So that gets back to, and they're still college men. So you don't want to be overtly critical of them. However, you have to start questioning. That you have to seriously question the level of talent that has been recruited and is now playing on this team. Because you've played everybody. So do you have the talent level that rises to the expected level, to the level that you expect from this team? And you have to say right now you don't. Agreed?
Agree. Absolutely.
Can't argue. You got 0 wins in the league. Can't argue.
And Hugs has said that on many occasions, and he'll continue to say that until things change. All right, Saturday sold out, West Virginia, Kansas. Mountaineers looking for magic. Mountaineers looking for a Mountaineerical. League's pretty good if you've been watching any of these games, if it hasn't run you off there. But, wow, Iowa State last night goes to Texas Tech. Kansas State all of a sudden, West Virginia had them 21, and all of a sudden Kansas State's just rolling people now.
Needed them. They were without Dean Wade, the preseason player of the year in the Big 12, and West Virginia got him. Didn't capitalize. Now Wade's back. That's a tougher out than what it was. It's to be determined if there's high end, but it's certainly a balanced league. It's hard to find wins in here if you're West Virginia.
I agree. I don't necessarily know if this is a Final Four league this year. But I think it's really there's a nice chunk of teams that are good.
It's
college
basketball. It's fun to watch.
Yeah, fun to watch good college basketball teams. So we'll find out. All right, we're back at you on Monday. It'll be West Virginia. Well, let's see. Monday, West Virginia plays again. So what do we go? Tuesday?
Maybe go a Tuesday to wrap up Kansas and the Monday game.
We'll wrap up Tuesday. Yeah, that's what we'll do. We'll go Tuesday. So for those of you scoring at home, whether you follow us on iTunes, Spotify, whatever it might be, we'll be back again on Tuesday, and who knows who will be in the chair. Nate Adrian wasn't here today. Out with a bellyache.
Oh, so you said you wanted me back, and really just because Adrian couldn't play. Next man up.
Shut that microphone off. Today's program has been brought to us by Bet Lucky. Download the Bet Lucky
app.
Bounced
on that quickly.
Just pick your affiliated casino, either Wheeling Island or Mardi Gras.
He did not tell me.
Gives you up to $20 off your first bet and bonus money. That's Bet Lucky back again on Tuesday. Y'all take care. See ya.